Hi, my name is Jim Foley, and I'm a grateful believer in Christ who struggles with people-pleasing, codependency, fear, and trust. Will you please pray with me this evening? Lord God Almighty, I thank you for this opportunity to share my story through my perspective and experiences. I thank you for your grace, your love, and your comfort in my life. I thank you for those who are here this evening, and I pray that our hearts will be softened and our ears opened. I pray that your story of love and grace is received. I pray these things in Jesus' name. As I speak tonight and stand before you, I think to myself, am I saying the right things? Will I do well presenting? What if people don't like me? Will people like me when I'm done? Not just a few people, but everyone. And what's with the cheap white folding chairs out here? This has been an ongoing battle with insecurity throughout my life, as I have struggled with believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ, and believing in myself, which manifests itself in people-pleasing, codependency, fear, and trust issues. My story begins at conception, when I was born to a teenage mother on Halloween. I'm sure my birth put fear into her, as did my two younger brothers, because she was very young, impressionable, and had come from an abusive home. She was abused both sexually and emotionally. My mom was a free spirit and open to anything that would fix her emotional emptiness, even if it meant exploring New Age or the occult activities. I thought it was very humorous, being born on Halloween to a woman who dabbled in the occult, when decades later I became a Christian and my first child was born on Easter. A God wink, I call it. Just God's way of letting me know he is omnipotent, caring, and involved in my life. My mother was very expressive with her emotions. When she would get mad at my father, she would scream at him that she was going to divorce him. I would eventually tune out this tone of voice or do whatever it took to avoid this kind of situation, even if it meant keeping silent. My father, on the other hand, was a staunch military officer who showed very little emotion until he got to the end of his rope, and then all hell would break loose. Discipline for him revolved around a few words: yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, and please. There were many occasions my father was not physically present, like when he was in Vietnam and other military assignments. When he was home, he was emotionally absent and not involved in my life. These perceptions of my father, of my earthly father, drove my assumptions of my heavenly father. As long as I acted a certain way and did things the way someone else wanted, things were fine. Needless to say, I struggled with belief in a compassionate, caring God. Being raised by these two extreme personalities, my yin and yang were a constant yo-yo. Some time ago, I found myself in a mental debate with myself over lunch. I had decided I would eat sushi for lunch because it sounded like fun. For me, food was always a treat and often an escape. Then the thought of, no, you don't deserve that, and it's too expensive, came into my head. The battle was so strong that I had to pull over the side of the road because I couldn't concentrate on driving. I thought to myself, was this for real? Does everyone deal with this? Or am I just crazy? My parents attended a main denominational church when I was young, during my grade school years. I was living in New York and enrolled in a private school. There, I was presented with a new set of rules to follow and told how to act and what to believe. It was during this time period when a priest sexually abused me. I buried this pain. I was so frightened and ashamed of the sin committed by one of God's men. I buried this pain of my life so deep inside, it became absent from my conscious mind for more than 3 decades. I lived in shame, fear, and self-doubt. To make matters worse, this priest had several attributes that were similar to those of Christ. He was slender, had a beard, and claimed to be of God. He demanded I keep the abuse a secret. So for me, believing and trusting in Christ, who looked like the man who molested me, was appalling and repulsive. This is when I started to struggle with being overweight. I thought I could eat enough, I could bury my pain, and I would be less desirable. People would leave me alone, and therefore I would be safe. In the 5th grade, we moved to Maryland, as my dad was stationed overseas. Being in the military and moving around, It was easy to be a chameleon. I could change my colors and disappear into any environment. It's an army brat's basic survival instinct. It is very difficult to develop roots and deep, meaningful relationships. After Maryland, we moved to Kansas, then Oklahoma, and then Hawaii. Paradise at last. Hawaii was a beautiful place, and I have many fond memories. I had friends who were weekend partiers and Sunday churchgoers, of which I was one. This seemed to fit my lifestyle well because I had a very distorted view of religion. One summer in Waikiki, while riding in the elevator, I was sexually assaulted again. Feeling like it was my fault or that I deserved to be punished this way, I retreated to my room in shame. I told my friends what had happened, and they just laughed at me. They were drunk and not coherent. I once again buried the pain, the anger, and my self-esteem. It was years before I rode an elevator again, and decades before I trusted anyone. Upon graduation from college, I moved to Dallas. I was working 70, 80 hours a week and proud to have something to pour my life into. My pride and confidence were short-lived, as 6 months later, I was laid off. Not only did this send me into a downward spiral, it also sent me into the darkest time of my life, a time I refer to as my black period. It was a time of reckless living, regular drinking, experimenting with drugs, and inappropriate relationships with women. It was also during this time that death was all around me. I had several close friends that had committed suicide, and at the same time, my best friend's mother was dying of cancer. The overwhelming nature of these situations caused me to question the nature of God. Was there a God? Where was he? And did he care about me? One of my favorite movies is Forrest Gump. I think of the scene in the movie when Sergeant Dan and Forrest were reunited years after the Vietnam War. Sergeant Dan is in a wheelchair because he lost his legs in the war. He looks at Forrest and he asks, "Forrest, have you found Jesus?" Forrest, being the great philosopher that he is, replied, "I didn't know he was lost." Jesus wasn't lost in my life. I was lost. And quite frankly, I wasn't looking for him. He found me. It was about this time, a good friend of mine asked me to attend a Bible study. I tried other things, and none of them were satisfying. We studied the Bible together, and I began to understand the true nature of God and Jesus Christ. My life began to change for the better, and my spiritual hunger was being nurtured. I accepted Christ, started attending Bible church, and was baptized. Soon after, I started dating the woman who would become my wife. Life was great for more than a decade. We had two beautiful daughters, and work was kept in check. It did not rule my life. Several years into our marriage, we would face one of the toughest struggles. We were financially strapped, our relationship was tumultuous, and my wife had sought counseling for a health issue that had deteriorated due to a trauma in her life. During one of our family counseling sessions, my wife revealed to me that her boss had sexually assaulted her. The rage and anger that I had suppressed from my past boiled up and exploded as I picked up a chair and threw it across the room. I had never let out a scream of that magnitude, nor shown that kind of rage in my life. Before the session was over, I was already figuring out if I could jump on a plane, fly back home, kill this individual, and make it back before my kids would wake up in the morning. The counselor saw the pain and anger, looked at me in the eye, and said, "You cannot do anything right now. Your wife is not healthy. You will go to jail, and no one will be able to take care of your kids." That was the only sane thought that kept me from seeking revenge. The anger and hatred seethed through my body and eventually overtook my thought process. I met with a therapist to work through those feelings and to find out why they were so strong. This is when I rediscovered the childhood trauma I had suffered from the priest. Things in my life started to make sense, the way I acted, the fear, the mistrust, the codependency, and the shame. In order to heal and recover, I had to do several things. I had to trust that God would see me through this. I had to acknowledge that I was not responsible for what happened to me, but I was responsible for how I lived my life. And most importantly, I had to forgive. I had to forgive all those who had taken advantage of me. Through regeneration, I heard similar stories of how they overcame their struggles. And God once whispered to me, "You need to forgive the person who assaulted your wife." I heard the whisper and ignored it for a while until the perpetrator called my wife to apologize. He had hit his rock bottom, had gone through counseling and was calling her to apologize. He also mentioned that he would like to apologize to me for the damage that he had caused. I decided I should listen to his story and extend forgiveness. After all, if God could forgive me for how I lived, how could I not forgive him? This was not just about this one incident. It represented all those who had abused me in the past. I decided to meet him face to face. I knew I wasn't there out of my willingness, but out of obedience to God. I prayed my anger would not get the best of me, and that God would guide me and give me the right words to say. As I listened to this man, he explained his life story and what had happened. He then asked for my forgiveness. He too came from an abusive upbringing. I listened intently, and then words came out of my mouth. Not my words, but God's words. I then reached out and hugged him tightly and told him that he was forgiven. He broke down and wept convulsively. He was a devout atheist and had lived his life accordingly. At the end of our conversation, he looked at me and said, "I have never felt the love and presence of God like I have today. Although this conversation was very healing, I still struggle with anger, fear, and trust. For me, the pain had gotten so bad, I was willing to do whatever it took. I committed to start and finish regeneration." Walking into regeneration at first was way out of my comfort zone. Listening to a bunch of people chanting phrases and suggesting how I should live brought back bad memories. Regeneration redefined my perspective of God, of humanity, and my life. I could be honest, too, and share my story with a group of people who were searching for their own healing. This time I was not laughed at, shamed, or shunned. I was accepted and encouraged. When listening to speakers at Regeneration, I also vividly remember saying to myself, "I will never be on that stage telling my story." A God wink, I think. Like me, maybe many of you have carried a lot of pain, shame, anger, or lack of self-worth. Maybe you're at the end of your rope. I want to encourage you and let you know that you are in the right place, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, for an encounter with God. I believe He has you here for a purpose. I believe we often find God in the midst of our pain because He first met us through the pain He suffered. Here's what I know and believe today. I believe in God. My Heavenly Father, who loves me, knows me, and cares about me. And He loves you. He knows you, and He cares about you as well. I stand here before you out of obedience to Him. If left to my will, I would be hiding in the back of the room or sitting on my sofa at home. I know the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I know he wants me to keep my story in the shadows, to isolate me and prevent me from sharing my story of grace. Through regeneration, I have learned to differentiate my feelings from factual statements. For example, at times while growing up, I did not feel loved by my parents. To me, that was my truth and my belief. As I look back, I realize that my parents really did love me and they really did care about me. For the better part of my life, I have allowed negative feelings instead of the truth to directly influence my beliefs. My parents were not perfect, but they did the best they could, and today my relationship with my earthly father is much improved. I believe in Jesus Christ, who became man to experience my pain and suffering, to be ridiculed by his peers and to be crucified for my sake. I know that God gives us free will to love one another or to harm one another. I believe the harm that came to me as a child was not that of God and was not my fault. It came through the sinful nature of another human being. And because of the power of God working my life, I choose to no longer live in shame and fear. And finally, I believe in myself, not because of anything I have done, but because I understand the grace of God and I understand that He loves me. I intentionally chose to share photos with you guys that were not the most flattering, because I'm not ashamed and I no longer seek man's approval, nor do I fear rejection or ridicule. This is also Facebook from my generation. This is how we did it old school. By being honest and transparent, I have nothing to hide, and that gives me great freedom from shame. I now seek my strength and self-worth through my Creator, the God who redeems and restores those who are willing to put their trust in Him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Thank you for allowing me to share God's story through my perspective.